Hey everyone, welcome to Casinos USA's 117th podcast, August 12th, 2021. Might be on the internet forever, or something close to that. But boy, we got a packed show for you today. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about destination weddings. We had one in our family, things can be so right. But whether you're on a beach or an island or somewhere else, things could go wrong. And it's not the wedding itself, it's getting home. Oh my goodness, Jenny wants to talk about that. We want to talk about three-card poker. We're always thinking about people who are somewhat intimidated to play table games. They kind of want to play table games, but, you know, they're a little bit nervous about playing table games. And we've suggested for numerous podcasts, if you're going to make the switch into table games a little bit, pick a table game where what you do doesn't screw up anybody else. Just blame it on the cards, you know. So we've talked about baccarat, and today we're going to talk about three-card poker and our experiences with it in a recent trip to Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Western Maryland. We're also going to talk about Lyme disease. Oh, my goodness. What an unpleasant topic. But, you know, a question I have for anyone that wants to answer it, any physician out there, listen, how come my dog can be vaccinated, you know, for protection against Lyme disease? And I can't, you know, he has a vaccine because our lovable little Oliver, you know, he had a tick and we had it removed. I actually took it out with a pair of tweezers and the part that was still left in there, the vet said, don't worry about it, it'll go away. But the dog's protected. But my arm got so sore, my joints got so sore. I mean, this goes beyond aging. So I was certain since Oliver had a tick that, you know, maybe I had Lyme disease. So, oh my goodness. All right. And so we'll talk about that. And we also want to talk in craps talk today about what I will say is system rigidity, where, you know, you just play one system and you know, I'll be damned with making any changes. And because I'm very flexible, and wise, at least in terms of craps, it's my biggest passion. Other than love and marriage and kids and grandkids, I did something I normally don't do, and I'll talk about that, and I won some money, which I would have lost playing anything associated with the pass line. And we have our usual music breaks between the segments, and we'll be right back to talk about all these things, and Jenny will talk about that destination wedding issue first. Because she had a conversation with someone who just had to struggle through one on the way home. And you'll get the details. Okay, we'll be right back.
Awesome!
And it is sort of awesome. Janie's going to start the podcast today. She hasn't been with us the last couple podcasts, but she's with us again today. And of course, her topic is destination weddings. Singing the blues maybe sometimes, you know. All right, whatever. I'll turn it over to Janie. Here she is.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane. Oh, so my topic today, destination weddings. I don't know if any of you have ever gone to one. They're fun. I'm bringing this up partly because my son and daughter-in-law had a destination wedding. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of anticipation. You get to spend, I guess the idea partly, you get to focus on this group of people for more than just one night. You know, it becomes a several day vacation together, so to speak, and you have more memories, and you can't probably have as many people, or you don't have as many people partaking as you would if you have it on your home turf, usually. But I ran into someone who went to a destination wedding this past weekend. We just came home. And they went to Dominican Republic. And I guess about 85 guests there. And the first thing about any destination wedding, or at least most of them are outdoors too. And the thing about outdoor weddings, even in this part of the country or anywhere in this country, is the weather. Well, apparently it started out as a nice day, the day of the wedding, and everything was outside, but then they had some big storms, so they had to move everything inside. Then it cleared up and they moved everything back outside. So about three or four times they were back and forth and in and out of the facilities on this beautiful island, looking at the beautiful ocean. But it got to the point at the end where the guests said they just had to pick some of the elderly people up in their chairs and move them back and forth.
I can picture that. Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, that gets you going back and forth. But, you know, just keep that in mind if you plan one. And I'm not in any way trying to make anyone, discourage anybody from having a destination wedding or an outdoor wedding. But just keep in mind that that's a factor. So that if you would have a tent or something else available in case it would rain somewhere, that could be covered. But we've all heard about Spirit Airlines this past week. Well, a lot of these guests, and our friend included, had tickets on Spirit. And so they couldn't leave when they planned to. Their flight was canceled. And there were four of them that were flying together. They were going to fly from the Dominican to Miami, and they couldn't. So it was delayed. It was canceled. Then they said they could get them another one.
To Fort Lauderdale.
To Fort Lauderdale. But what they did, they ended up staying an extra night there. And then first thing in the morning, they were told the flights were canceled again.
And I'm sure what happens is you start to worry about your job, like your boss. You know, how many days are he going to take off? You've been at this destination for a while. Now you get to take off again. But they...
Oh, that's right.
Then the flight was canceled there.
That's right. So they had to Uber to Miami.
Yeah.
So it was an extra three-day ordeal for them. And I guess the panic involved in that, you know, they were missing work.
Well, they were told when they got to Miami they could get to Pittsburgh, but it turned out they could only get to Tennessee.
Right. And then they had to stay a night there. So, and we know that there were hundreds of flights canceled across the country. And that also brings up a point. If you have a winter wedding planned, a lot of people that live in the East Coast or the northern part of the country plan destination weddings in warm, you know, in Florida, in Texas, in California, Arizona, different places. Oh, Las Vegas, that's a big one. They plan them there for when it's winter here, but, you know, we get hit with some winter snowstorms, and I remember one a few years ago that my daughter was back here over Christmas, and she went to the airport, and her flight was canceled. She couldn't leave for, like, 3 days later because they canceled hundreds and hundreds of flights.
I do love the point you made at the beginning of this, though, because I didn't think of it this way before until now. We actually, at Jeff's wedding in Las Vegas, we actually had so much fun with the other family because we were there for a couple of days. Like, we went golfing with the other family.
Right.
That we had a cabana.
Well, we had with our friends there, too. Yeah,
yeah, our friends. It was like a group vacation.
It was fun. It was very nice. Yes, we got a cabana for the next day, and... Oh, that was great. That was my first experience having a cabana. But we enjoyed it. The families enjoyed it. The bridal party enjoyed it. It was fun. And as I said, people were there for 3, 4, 5 days.
And what I realized that night, too, and I don't know why I wouldn't have realized it earlier, is that those people that do the weddings in Las Vegas, they have so much experience doing weddings.
Oh, right. They really know. They can handle crowds. They can do weddings very easily. All the facilities there. And I would, you know, if you go out and sample, Jeff and Teresa were there and they sampled. They went to several different hotels and got to sample the menus. You know, they had made appointments when they went out there the year before. But, of course, I was saying the whole time, oh, are you sure you want to get married in July out here? It's 106 today. I can only imagine, you know, next year it could be hotter. But fortunately, the weather cooperated, and it was a nice day. It was it wasn't in the teens, which we know Las Vegas can reach the teens, too.
Well, people go all over the world for destination weddings, but personally, I don't think I want to leave the country. Just from the state of affairs in the world, and particularly with this COVID that's going on. But I can report that the marriage went on and everything was fine, and the trouble was just getting home.
Right. They did all end up getting home, but there was a little bit of some panic in that. And you can imagine that if you're told your flight's been canceled. And, of course, they haven't gotten any refunds yet.
No.
They're told they will get them, and they probably will, but it's just going to be a little bit of a matter of time. So, you know, just think about that, and just think about the weather in general. And don't let that ruin your plans. You know, the wedding will go off, and it'll probably be more fun. People always say they remember the weddings where something went wrong or the weather was a problem. It poured, whatever. It'll go on. It'll be fine.
The man who told us this, I didn't want to ask him after because he was so upset. I was going to ask him how the gambling was in the Dominican Republic, but I guess maybe as he actually cools off here out a couple of days, I'll ask him.
I don't know, but I would say that for Vegas being a destination, that's a good one because there's always so much to do. You know, each hotel has more than one wedding planner. And they just have lists of activities for all age groups in your group.
All right. Destination weddings, yes or no, that's your decision. Thanks for sharing that story, Janie. Janie, before your segment ends, I wanted to ask you to talk about how you used, I think, $10 free play to get a $150 hit at Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Western Maryland, where we got great weather, and we went back after a couple of weeks with the grandkids again, and we had a great time. But how about that free play idea? You want to explain that?
Well, yes. Rocky Gap had given me free play, and the morning we were leaving, I was going to use it. One time, I remember, I may have said this already, one time I had free play, and I said to you, oh, I don't feel like using it. Let's just go. We were leaving. You said, oh, no, it's free play. You have to use it. So I said, oh, all right. So I went down and decided I'd put it all in a dollar machine, and the max bet was $5. And I said, well, I'm just going to do this one, and then I'll be done with it in a few pools. Well, I ended up winning $500, so, and that was free on free play. So I learned my lesson there. You can't look a gift horse in the mouth, so to speak. So this time we were leaving, and you played your free play on that same machine.
Monte Carlo machine.
Yeah, and so I just, well, you didn't get anything. So
no, I zipped through my free play.
Well,
and
I thought, you even said to me, are you sure you want to play on this one? Maybe you should play on one you might feel more comfortable on. But I said, well, since I had good luck on this one before, and so did you before, I'll just do this one. I'll do $5 a pull, and we'll see. So I had the first pull, I got $8. The second pull, nothing. And the third one, I got $150.
Oh, you got the wheel to spin up above.
I got the wheel to spin, so yeah. That's what I did. I could have won the jackpot of $35,000, but I would settle for the $150. But in speaking of weather, which I did in the previous segment, we went two different weekends to Rocky Gap. We had grandchildren there, and my son and daughter, who hadn't seen each other because they live across the country from each other, for 4 years. And we had seen my daughter because she was back at Christmas, and we hadn't seen my son and his family for 19 months because of the COVID. But the weather was beautiful. It cooperated. We had an 8-year-old and 2 13-year-old boys. And they swam for hours in the lake, and then they kayaked, and they ate, they fished. I mean, they had...
They all caught fish?
All caught fish. And then we met my son and his family again this past weekend, which worked out well, too. The weather cooperated, and we got to have the activities.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like the destination wedding that's outside. They're not all outside, I understand that. But Rocky Gap with kids, if you have great weather, I don't know where you could get us any better. But if you have a rainy, stormy weekend, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, because they're swimmers, they were in the water, and they like the water activities. If it rained, we'd have to put them in the pool, I guess.
Yeah, there's
there
an indoor pool.
Yeah.
And
of course, the 8-year-old had to be in that too. Anytime she wasn't in the lake, in some form, she wanted to be in the pool. So, and that worked out too.
So the great lesson is, even if it seems like I'm not going to win anything, if you get free play, use your free play.
Right. And other people would probably say that to us. Why would you even question that, you know? Because at one time, I probably wouldn't have. I wouldn't have questioned that at all. But I don't know. It was just one of those days where I didn't feel like doing it.
Okay. Thanks again, Janie. You know, I had mentioned that there's probably thousands and thousands of people who play slot machines, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, if they enjoy it. I'm a big video poker person myself, so I do enjoy it. But they also have, I would call it a little bit of an intimidation about playing table games. Like, they don't feel real knowledgeable, or they lack complete knowledge of a game. And even though everybody tells them it's fun and it's a decent game to play, they're kind of just hesitant to do that. So we had talked about games you can play and you don't have to worry about bothering other people. Baccarat obviously has a great appeal to us because it's a wonderful house edge. It may be, it's one of the top three house edges, in terms of being a low house edge in the casino. And you don't touch the cards in mini Baccarat. So, you know, there's no decisions you make whatsoever except how to bet. And so we went through that in our last podcast and in previous podcasts. But we've been playing a little bit of three-card poker, and I want to talk about three-card poker today, and you know, maybe you want to give that a try. First time I tried, I said, you know, I'm going to play 10 hands. Next time I played 15. You know, I still try to limit my hands. I don't want to sit there for hours and play. I'm not one of those kind of three-card poker players. But let's just talk about this. The game requires an ante. That's A-N-T-E. And really, in all forms of poker that I can think of, you have to put money into a pot or into a circle in three-card poker prior to the deal. So you're not playing unless you risk that ante. And at a $10 table, if that was the minimum, you know, you would have to put $10 in the ante. Now you're thinking, well, okay, $10 bets I can deal with. Well, here's the issue. Once you see your three cards and you have a queen, six, and whatever else you have, you should play. You should actually, now you're actually going to play. And the queen six is a standard for playing. You can play with nothing. you could have a two, an eight, and a ten, and you could play. But the odds are really against you. The dealer has to qualify to play with a queen. So that's why it's queen six. She has a queen, but maybe she has a four and a five. You're saying, well, if I have a queen six, I have a good chance to beat the dealer if she doesn't have anything else. You know, doesn't have a pair, etc. Doesn't have an ace high or a king. So you have an ante bet of $10. And so if you're going to play your hand once you see it, you need to put $10 in that play circle. So at a $10 table, the minimum bet you would have if you're playing it is $20. And that might slow you down a little bit. That's where $5 tables would be great. And the minimum bet would be $10 if you're playing it. Now, if you just fold your cards, you just put them aside, then you lose the ante bet. I mean, you know, you just donated it to the casino because you didn't play your hand. But why play a hand that you expect to lose with? You know, that's why. Why lose $20 when you can only lose $10? You know, that's the thing. So the ante bet might confuse you, but that's the minimum bet of the table, and you have to put it down before you get your cards. And then once you get your cards, then you decide whether you're going to play it, make a play bet. I don't want to upset you. You know, sometimes people want you to look at your cards, and then you put them down on the play circle and put the equal amount on top of the cards. A lot of the Fremont Street casinos, you put the money in the circle and you put the cards to a side and you put them upright so the dealer doesn't have to turn them over. When you put them on the circle, you put them face down and the money on top of it. So you can see other players how they do it, or you can just ask the dealer, hey, look, I've seen this dealt different ways. How do you want me to do this? How do you want me to play? Do you want me to put the cards on the circle and the money on top of it? Or do you want me to just turn the cards up and put the money on the play circle? If you're into doing things statistically and mathematically, these are the only two bets you make, the ante bet and the play bet. That's it. But there are some, I guess you'd call them side bets. And I make them when I play short games. The pair or better bet also is a table minimum. And then there's a six-card bet, which is interesting. You put your cards, your three cards, together with the dealer's three cards, and even if you lose the hand, you know, even if you lose your anti-play bet, you still could win the pair or better bet. Okay, say you have a pair of nines, all right, and the dealer has a pair of kings. So the dealer beats you and gets your anti-money and gets your play bet money, but you would win the pair bet. So, you know, and there's different odds for every hand, so you'd actually win your money back. Now, the six-card bet, that's where the big, big money comes in this game. And, you know, the odds are really stacked against you. It's a long shot, and you don't have to put the table minimum down. You could put $1, you could put $3, you could put $5 if it's a $10 table. And that's what I would do. I wouldn't put more than $5 because you could still win a considerable amount of money because they're such long shots. The only thing you need to guard against in terms of a dealer, the anti-bet has bonus too. That's just something that you make. So you win the anti-bet even if you lose the hand. For example, if you have a straight, you're going to win your anti-bet with some odds in your favor in terms of payouts. But the, I don't know, maybe in the rush of dealing cards, a lot of particularly new dealers, they grab your money off the ante and play, even though you're... you met the requirement of a bonus bet. Say you had a 2-3-4 straight, but the dealer has a higher straight, you know, 7-8-9. You lose, but you still win the ante bonus. But other than that, the cards play themselves. Just watch on that ante bonus bet that you get paid. I haven't encountered that, but a lot of people say that can be an issue, particularly with new dealers. If you're sitting at a table with a three-card poker player by yourself, the game goes very quickly, and I actually think it's better to sit at a crowded table. Like, you're not, what you do with your cards has nothing to do with anybody else, because you get three cards, they get three cards. There's no draw in this game, but and you want to put the best poker hand together, you know. And again, we're saying don't play the hand that you get unless you at least have a queen six, because statistically, it's really a long shot. You could win with less than a queen six if the dealer doesn't have any good cards either. And remember, if the dealer doesn't qualify, it's a push on your pair bet, and you just get the ante bet back, and the play bet doesn't get paid either. So it just, you know, you can win if the dealer doesn't qualify, but you won't win all the bets that you made if you made those additional bets. You can go online and find places where you can play for free. I'd recommend that. At least, you know, take a look at what a three-card poker table looks like. And generally, they spell out the, you know, what the bonus bets are, the side bet, what, you know, how it pays, the six-card bet. Some places don't have it. But if you're just playing mathematically correct, and that's what I was talking about when I said just play the ante bet, which is required, and the play bet when you want to play your cards, the house edge is close to placing the six and eight. So, you know, you're very close to a decent bet in craps, placing a 6 and 8. Some people only play that in craps. They place a 6 and 8. So, you know, think about that. It's the house edge in three-card poker gets out of hand with those side bets. You know, even though they're appealing, like I told you, I play them. If I was going to play for hours, I probably wouldn't play them because you just lose too much money. And so, again, I kind of record my hands, you know. At Rocky Gap this time, I played 12 hands, and I was forced to play something because the craps table, only one was open, and it was filled. So I could see the craps table from the three-card poker table. So I played 12 hands. I lost the first four, and I won the next eight. So, I mean, it can quickly turn in your favor, and you could be a big-time loser, and if you're playing the pair or better bet, which is a side bet, or the six-card bet, and you hit that, all of a sudden you win all your money back, or close to it, you know, because the odds are so great. You don't always lose those bets, that's what I'm saying. So that's really your choice. Yeah, I'm telling you, if you want to try a table game and it doesn't, you know, Baccarat doesn't work for you, you don't want to try it, a lot of places don't have it, then three-card poker is in existence all around the world. It's a game that was invented, you know, in the last century. It's really not that old, but it's very popular. Three-card poker. So give it a try. Remember, there's no draw. You're playing against the dealer, not the other players. And you need to put the ante-bet in. That's required. And if you're going to play your hand because you statistically have a queen, six, four, something like that, then, okay, then you make the play bet of equal amount to the ante-bet and hope for the best, right? And hope for the best. And the dealer deals with each player, you know, individually. So you might get yours checked right away and your winnings right away. If you're the last person, you're the last person. So the game can be slow, which is good. The slower the game, truthfully, the better it is, because there is a house edge in the game, right? Okay, we're going to move on and talk about an issue I have with certain crap systems, depending on how you approach your own particular favorite crap system. We'll be right back.
3, 2, 1.
Well, you're listening to the individual that invented 3-2-1 craps from the past line. So check it out. It's all over the internet, particularly the one by Jeremy Ellerick of Color Up. He's the one that read about it from our Facebook Casinos USA group. You're welcome to join that. No cost there. Just a lot of posts from me and from others. You know, post what you want to as long as it's legit about travel or about gambling. But one issue I have with crap systems, you know, the style of play that you use, is what I call rigidity. Like, you know, sure, start the game with your favorite system, whatever it is. Sometimes just make place bets, maybe. Sometimes, you know, chase craps numbers. You know, sometimes just go past line with double or triple odds. You know, whatever you want to do, play the hard ways if it appeals to you. But the point is, you don't lock yourself into that system forever. If you're getting killed, change your system of play, or you're just going to go right through your stake. I started at Rocky Gap with Don't Pass, which is unusual for me. And the reason for it, with just one table, I took a good look. There was almost no chips on, you know, in the rails. Like, people were losing. So I thought, you know, why does smoke start with the pass line? So I started with the Don't Pass, and then I just started to win. And finally, people were getting into little longer rolls, and so I placed the 6 and 8. And I stayed up on those for two hits, and then the person summoned out without making their number. And so it went in my favor. Now, if I'd have been playing my own system, 3-2-1 craps in the pass line, I would have lost $400, you know, the amount of time that I played. But I won over $400 only because I was flexible. So I guess correctly. I mean, it is a guess, obviously. Just because there's few chips on in front of players doesn't mean that it's going to be down pass the rest of the way. But to me, that was a sign that, you know, let's start from the down pass, and if the table gets warm, gets hot, I'm going right back and playing, you know, the pass line and placing bets in addition to the pass line. Or I'm doing smart craps. You know, I'm playing the pass line and combats with odds. So that's my recommendation today in craps talk. Don't get locked into one system, you know. Change during the course of the game. Make a different play. You recognize that banjo music? No, it's not from Deliverance. No. But, you know, it's something you don't hear every day, right? Oh, yeah. I want to give you my collection of banjo music. No, I just having some fun with that. I want to talk about a couple of things that are associated with the podcast that we do, and also the Facebook that we have and our website. And that is the history of Las Vegas and the history of gaming in general. And there's something that some embrace and talk about openly. You can visit what's known as the Mob Museum on Fremont Street. It's incredible, you know, for the amount of information in there that you didn't know about before you got there. But it's really not a secret that the mob, that's the term we're going to use to discuss them, controlled Las Vegas for the most part until the middle 70s, when the corporation started to buy them out, and there was pressure put on by the feds, of course, to break up the association between Vegas and the mob. But Caesar's Palace opened August 5th, 1966. And of course, there was a ceremony and dinner and, you know, VIPs. But one couple that was invited was Jimmy Hoffa of the Teamsters and Josephine Hoffa. And the reason he was there is because it was his loan of Teamster money, $10.5 million, to the mob that helped finance the construction of Caesars. And that $10.5 million, you know, think of it in terms of 1966. You know, a new car might cost $2,300 in 1966. So that's a reality. And, you know, you can check into the history of Las Vegas and see how the mob was more or less forced out by corporations and by the federal government, the legal Department of Justice and the FBI. So that's just something to don't forget about in terms of odds and ends. And so there is that mob museum on Fremont Street, near Fremont Street, just off Fremont Street, that I think is well worth the visit, because there's several stories to the building, and each one has something that's, you know, new experience for you. And there's also a replica of a speakeasy, because Prohibition was probably America's greatest gift to the mob, right? Okay. I also wanted to say, as we get closer to the opening of college football and NFL football, you know, not the exhibition games, of course, but the real deal, we'll start to talk about sports betting, football. I don't bet baseball. Look, I live in the Pittsburgh area, so it's pretty tough to get excited about baseball. I think they've lost twice as many games as they've won. So no criticism. When I was a teenager, the Bucks rocked, but those days are over. But anyway, we'll get back into sports betting very soon. And we'll be departing for Vegas for the opening home game at Allegiant Stadium with fans. It's a Monday night game, September 13th, Monday, when the Las Vegas Raiders welcome the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm going to close out with my reference to Lyme disease. And, that's such a common concern here in Western Pennsylvania and a lot of the mountain states, West Virginia around us and throughout the country, these ticks associated with deer herds generally, and they get into the grass and then they attach to your leg or your dog, and then you pet your dog. And as I said, dogs are protected if they get the vaccine. But my crap shooting arm, it was just so hurtful. I did some damage here. And I thought, I really haven't lifted that much in recent days. So how did this happen? And then I went and saw my PCP, the physician, and, you know, he told me I had tennis elbow. And that was basically because I overdone using my right arm, because my left arm, I have a shoulder injury and I never got it repaired. I just made my left arm stronger, not as strong as it could be if I had it repaired, but it was strong enough for me. So again, I was a weightlifter most of my life, and those days are over, but I still have that strength. So anyway, I have tennis elbow. I got the Lyme blood test and I'm clean. I'm still seeing a doctor, see what they can do about that. There's injections, maybe there's some sort of a covering I could put over my elbow and give it a chance to rest. We'll see. But that's what that was about. But, you know, as I said many times, no matter what happens, Casinos USA is still a place where every day is Saturday, and that should lift our spirits, right? All right. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple of weeks.